Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Vastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme. Coming up on tonight's show, we're going to hear the growing calls politically for legislation on homelessness to be made a top priority. A Garth commissioner has resigned in the past 24 hours. We'll hear why. Also tonight, as the election approaches, we continue to explore the issues you say matter most. Today, our focus turns to immigration. Also, what does the future hold for Onchan Park? A list of priorities has been drawn up in a report by the local commissioners there. And one of local farming's most prestigious awards has been won by a couple who run a 420-acre farm in Dalby. We'll hear from them later. We'll have the weather, the latest traffic and travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Christian Fastamai.
The number of financial irregularities reported to Treasury has increased more than threefold since 2021. The figures released by the Audit Advisory Division highlight the majority from the past 2 years relate to procurement governance. Homelessness is not something that anybody expects. That's the message from MLC Kirsty Morfitt, who's calling for legislation to tackle the issue to be fast-tracked by June next year.
We are a lucky country, and if we can't stop people slipping through the net, then we need to be looking at ourselves and remember these are just human beings that everybody sometimes needs a hand up.
The current timeline is 2029, which the former social worker says isn't urgent enough. This week marks 20 years since the inception of Beachbody's Isle of Man. Here's the founder, Bill Dale.
I mean, why would anybody go to the middle of nowhere, a beautiful forest or a mountain road, somewhere quiet, you know, the Marine Drive, middle of the night, just open the back of the car, chuck it out and then drive off? I mean, that's, what's going through somebody's brain to think that's okay?
Hundreds of tons of waste have been collected and over 22,000 different volunteers have joined the charity since. In the latest international news, the UK government is allegedly considering a U-turn on business rate rises for pubs.
Over Christmas, Labour MPs were banned from every single pub they tried to get into. They come back and realise that nobody likes them, so now they're pushing for a U-turn. We told them this when Rachel Rees put out that budget.
That's Tory leader Kemi Badenoch there. In November's budget, the Chancellor announced changes to how hospitality is taxed, which venues said would see bills soar. Ex-Premier League referee David Coote has been spared jail after previously admitting making an indecent image of a child. He's been handed a suspended sentence after a video of a 15-year-old was found on his laptop. And Liverpool boss Arne Slot says he's looking forward to their match away at Premier League table toppers Arsenal this evening. The Londoners are the favourites to take their crown. A victory tonight would take them 8 points clear at the summit. Those are the update news headlines next at six.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So tonight it's going to be dry but cloudy. A few showers might develop later on in the night. The fresh east to northeast wind will bat to the north or northwest. Minimum temperatures around 3 or 4 in most places. It will be near 1 on the highest hills, so there is that risk of icy patches. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, mainly in the west and south of the island. That will be falling as sleet over the hills. A mainly moderate wind, temperatures around 6 at best. There could be a touch of frost in places later tomorrow evening. Temperatures, though, should recover overnight. And then just looking ahead to the weekend, showers to start on Saturday. Then it'll be mostly dry and bright with sunny intervals in the afternoon. Temperatures around 6. Light winds and they will freshen later before becoming strong overnight into Sunday.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 4 minutes past five. Well, over 2 years since Timwell passed the Isle of Man homelessness strategy, a member of the Legislative Council is calling for the legislation to be prioritised going forward. Kirsty Morfitt wants it to be developed and introduced into the branches by June next year, that's 2027, as opposed to the current timeline, which looks towards 2029. She believes we should not forget that homelessness can happen to anybody.
Homelessness is not something that anybody expects, and people don't want to be homeless. That's not what it's about. But anyone that thinks it's just about other people is not being honest with themselves. And it could be a member of your family, it could be your son, it could be following a marriage breakup. There's loads of reasons to become homeless. And I think if you asked people today Where would you go if you were made homeless now, today, this minute? Luckily, a lot of us would have a family member or a mate that we could keep on the sofa. But how long would those people put up with you for? Because you've got to get a month's deposit. You've got to get your first month's rent. You're looking at £1,200 you've got to save. And then you get that and all you can afford is a bedsit. And how long would your mental health be okay when you're listening to people fighting or having parties, or you've got to share a bathroom and you're a 17-year-old young girl that's feeling too scared to go for a shower, or you can't look after yourself properly because you're sharing a kitchen and everyone steals your food. So on top of that, you're paying rent for a bedsit and you're still having to save to get somewhere better. It's not easy to pull yourself out of that. And there are people that do it. And I've had the privilege to work with so many people that have pulled themselves out of it. But actually, we're starting them off to fail, really. You know, so I would ask people, rather than writing flippant comments, actually think about what it would mean if it was you. Or if it was your mum who gets ripped off and loses her life savings, or a relationship breakdown and then you have to go through cancer treatment and you're living in a hotel. These are real life things that happen to people, and they don't want them and they don't expect them.
That is Kirsty Morford, MLC. So that consultation into the legislation opened on the 18th of December. It closes on the 25th of February. There is a link on the web story at manxradio.com. It's just gone 6.5 minutes past five, and a Garth commissioner has resigned following the local authority's decision to support Manx Utilities sewage treatment works in Axenfell Plantation. Now, Tim Kenyon said in a statement to the board at its meeting last night that it had been a great privilege to represent the people of Lonnon. He also made a number of claims about Manx Utilities in his resignation statement. And our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper, is with me now just to go over some of this. First of all, Emma, would you just explain why Tim Kenyon quit as a board member last night?
Yes, so last month, Garth commissioners voted to support the MUA sewage treatment works proposal for Axenfell Plantation, and this is after hosting a public meeting about the plan. Each commissioner at the time said it was one of the hardest decisions they'd had to make during their time on the board, and it was 4-3 with one abstention, and both Mr Kenyon and Stuart Clegg threatened to resign if the commissioners supported it. The sewage situation in Garth has been going on for years, and the local authority said at its meeting that they didn't want to keep going round in circles with it.
So then what did Mr Kenyon say about Manx Utilities' plans, and I guess have they said anything in response?
So Mr Kenyon had some strong words about the treatment works plan. He said it would be a major challenge for the utility authority to pump sewage up a hill. He also didn't believe that the £20 million which has been allocated to the scheme would be enough, because in his opinion there would likely be major difficulties with the pipeline process. Mr Kenyon also claimed there would be winners and losers, with the winners being Manx Utilities and the losers being residents in Garth. I reached out to Manx Utilities and they sent me a statement which said it's sorry to hear of the resignation but appreciates the constructive engagement of Garth commissioners throughout the process. It adds the Garth scheme is the last one needed to end the discharge of raw sewage into the sea, and it will benefit the whole community and protect the island's precious marine environment. And the statement also says that pumping wastewater uphill is a standard engineering practice, and the project is currently progressing through the formal planning process.
So then after Mr Kenyon's resignation, what has Garth commissioner said, and are we expecting any more resignations?
Okay, so at the previously mentioned December meeting, Commissioner Stuart Clegg also threatened to resign, but the local authority has not confirmed this yet. And it said in a statement that Mr Kenyon had been an excellent valued member and consistently worked to represent the needs and interests of his constituents. And it added that his contributions to the work of the local authority and his willingness to engage constructively on behalf of the community were highly regarded. The statement also says that it regrets his departure, but recognises and respects the basis upon which his decision was made. So there will be a by-election at some point in the near future for at least one vacant seat on Garth commissioners.
Local democracy reporter Emma Draper, thank you. And we'll keep you up to date with what's happening with that local authority by-election. It's coming up to 10 past five. As we know, speaking of elections, this year residents will head to the polls for the 2026 House of Keys general election. And listeners have been telling us what subjects are most important to them. And among the top issues identified is immigration. Well, over the past 5 years, there have been discussions around growing the population to 100,000 and attracting new economically active residents. The latest population report shows a growth of less than 1,000 since 2021, while the strongest sector for attracting new and returning residents over here is healthcare. Sylvie G.L. Wilkes works at Cafe Lingo in Douglas, a group which supports people who've made the move over here from all over the world.
In the time that we have taken over, which is nearly 2 years since the creators of Cafe Lingo decided to leave, we have seen 25 different nationalities. So mostly Chinese nationality, and then people whose first language is Arabic.
For many people who come here, I imagine they don't have that support network immediately. How many come having no connections at all, but they've come here for work, and it can be quite a lonely experience as well, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, just I've had this experience myself. I've come here as a French native. I've also lived in Italy, and just setting up your electricity, your mm-hmm. phone usage, all these practical things are tough. And then there's prejudgment. At best it can be called curiosity. At worst it can be called bias. And why are you here? And so all those questions are not easy. All those topics are not easy. And we're there to show them pathways. Yeah.
When you think about how immigration is being discussed, not just here but in the UK as well. Does it make you nervous at all coming up to an election?
Yes, it does, because any of us who have had medical care, obviously going to Noble's Hospital, we realise how much we depend on immigration, because thankfully a lot of surgeons and top medical professionals have accepted to leave their country and come here and help the Isle of Man community. But even just going to the chemists, even the most basic things we do every day, we realise that we need immigration. And it saddens me, because the Isle of Man has always been a country of migration, emigration. You know, in the 1970s, all it takes is a visit to the Manx Museum and you realise how many Manx people have had to leave the Isle of Man for financial reason and make a better life elsewhere. You go abroad, and in most countries there is a Manx association. So we've forgotten that we had to migrate. And then there's immigration that we accept and immigration that we don't accept. You know, nobody's questioning Tyson Fury buying a house over here or Noel Edmonds. And those people should be welcome, absolutely. But so should people in need.
That is Sylvie G.L. Wilkes talking to Lewis there. As ever, you can find out all the details on the Manx Radio website. We've got the dedicated election webpage as well. Just to let you know, emergency services are responding to an incident in the area of Regent Street and Lock Promenade in Douglas at the moment. As you can imagine, at this time of day, the traffic around there is a bit of a nightmare at the minute. There are diversions in place. Police and ambulance are there, and we'll keep you up to date with what is happening. Now, the number of financial irregularities reported to Treasury has increased year on year since 2021. Information from the Audit Advisory Division has been shared in response to a Timwell question for written answer to the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson. Here's Lewis again.
The types of financial irregularity are separated into the following categories: bribery and corruption, budget/income management, contractual, procurement governance, theft/fraud, payroll/pension management, operational and internal error. The number of reports increases from 25 in 2021/22 to 50 in 2022/23, then up to 70 in 2023/24, and last year up to 85. A breakdown of the types of financial irregularities reported shows the majority across the past 2 years relate to procurement governance. In the last financial year alone, there were 28 reports which fell into that category, while there were 22 reports of FIs classed as operational, 17 in respect of contractual concerns, 11 concerning theft/fraud, and 3 concerning bribery and corruption. Action taken by the AAD remains ongoing in respect of a number of reports across each of the last 4 years. In response to the question from Onchan MHK Julie Edge, Minister Allenson says AAD's examinations help to scrutinise public spending, hold government to account, drive improvement in public services, and protect the public against dishonesty. This work serves a substantial public interest. Investigations include financial irregularities where information provided on the form is provided in confidence and investigated under a statutory function in the public interest of preventing or detecting unlawful acts and preventing the public against dishonesty. Investigations may gather documentation and information from Isle of Man government departments, members of House of Keys, and those involved in the subject matter of any investigation. He says data collected as part of the investigation may be shared with other designated bodies as defined in the Treasury Financial Regulations and the Isle of Man Constabulary to ensure completeness of the investigation. You can find a link to the full written answer at manxradio.com.
That is Lewis Foster reporting there. You can find the full story and the website as Lewis mentioned.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So the main thing this evening is all the congestion on the promenade at the moment. There's been an incident that's near Wetherspoon, so it's the Regent Street Lock Promenade area. Emergency services are there. We understand diversions are in place, but the road is partially blocked at the moment. So if you can avoid that area, you'd be well advised to do so. The Mountain Road opened again just around at midday today. And in Bradenstill, those temporary lights on Cool Road, that's near the business park, 24 hours a day. That is for pavement works. Looking down at the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas at around about 5:30, heading out for Heysham again at 7:15, and all looking good down at the airport as well.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's just gone 16 minutes past five. Improving accessibility, resurfacing footpaths and enhancing seasonal amenities are just a few of the priorities listed to improve Onchan Park. A report carried out by the commissioners says the infrastructure in the park is ageing and some of the play equipment requires basic investment. Here's Emma Draper, the local Democracy reporter, with the details.
It was created following the elections in April, where four new members joined the board and agreed to look into developing the park area. The report says a number of changes have occurred since the previous board discussed the park, including two tenants leaving, shortfalls in the electricity infrastructure, a new clubhouse for the Flat Green Bowling Club and regular events. It also adds that consideration will be given to a designated path around the perimeter of the park to allow members of the public to walk and cycle in a safe environment. The commissioners are also looking to improve accessibility throughout the park by removing steps and unsuitable surfaces, as well as upgrading signage. There is also provision in the report to potentially reduce the size of the mini golf course. If an application for an indoor paddle tennis facility is approved, it would be situated on part of this area. The report says the previous board met with the tenants and club representatives to gather information and hired an architect to produce a feasibility report, including outline design proposals and costings. However, no plans or resolutions were brought forward by the board after the consultation was completed. As part of the priority list, the commissioners agreed that infrastructure such as street and decorative lighting, electrics and drainage should be revamped. It also includes fabric improvements to some of the park's commercial buildings. There are also concerns in the report about the lack of parking, causing issues for the residents on the surrounding roads, as well as providing storage areas for bicycles and other types of transport. The commissioners will be keeping the tennis courts on Belgravia Road, but the report has suggested allowing some of them to be used for other sports and to allow them to be used as an overflow car park for events where necessary. The commissioners agreed that potential costings should be brought forward for smaller projects to be in the 2027-2028 financial year budget.
That is Emma Draper reporting there. 18 and a half minutes past five. Now, one of the local farming's most prestigious awards, the annual Wildlife Advisory Group Bronze Chough Trophy, has been won by Alan and Ellie Clegg, who run the 420-acre Ballylair Farm in Dalby. Now, this trophy is awarded for excellence in support of wildlife alongside sustainable food production, and past winners were invited as judges to visit the nominated farms and included Robbie and David Cool, who went on to win the coveted Silver Lapwing Award, competing against some of the best farms in the UK. Well, our Countryside presenter Simon Clark caught up with Alan and Ellie at yesterday's awards ceremony.
Yes, great to have the award. Yeah, fantastic.
It was a really nice surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah. What was it like when your name was sort of put in there and you thought, oh, they're going to head round the farm for Luke?
I didn't really know what to expect, but you're just doing the usual, trying your hardest. Yeah, it was a good surprise to be nominated, but yeah.
When you look at Rob and David Cool, who have won this in the past, they went on to win a prestigious award in the UK with the Silver Lapwing Award. Have you done a lot of diversification on your own place? Because it is a good mix of arable and then heading down to sea level as well, isn't it, just about?
Yeah, there's a lot of hills, and Alan's recently done a lot with the department planting the trees, haven't you?
My new hedgerows, fences, just infrastructure, and there.
And when people come round, What were their thoughts about it? What do they notice in particular about the changes you've made?
I think it just comes naturally to us as farmers what we're doing, and I think they expect the same as well. They don't expect not much difference in the Armand. Like most farmers are doing what we're doing. Yeah, we planted a few extra trees, but most farmers are doing stuff for the environment and producing food.
Well, you've had obviously your parents that have been farming it before you as well. A lot of good advice, and I suppose with the way of farming was and changing into the way it is this day and age, did they transition well?
I'd say to get land better they have done, yeah, because every farm wants to make the land better for the next generation, and every generation tries their hardest for the next generation.
That is Alan, and before that, Ellie Clegg, both talking to Simon Clark there. Now, a Douglas East MHK says she's had overwhelming support from local authorities with her free period products bill. Joni Farragher went to Garth Commissioners last night to talk about the legislation and how it would affect their operations, which includes public toilets. The commissioners raised concerns about antisocial behaviour in the facilities, stockpiling and monitoring the items. Ms Farragher spoke to Emma after the meeting.
I reached out to all of the local authorities to discuss my private members bill, which is the period products free provision bill. I had a drop-in session at the Legislative Buildings. Garth couldn't make it. However, they invited me along just to answer any questions that they might have. So I've just gone through the bill and explained the purposes behind it and why I've brought this to our Parliament. And it seemed quite positive. I'm hoping that, you know, I can get support of the commissioners. So yeah, that's why I'm here.
And you mentioned there that they're going to go in public toilets. Now, obviously, there's a large majority of public toilets that are owned by local authorities. And I understand that they had a question about cost and things like that. So would you be able to explain about how that's going to work?
So what the bill does is it places an obligation on anybody who facilitates or administrates a public facility, a public toilet, to provide period products. And the cost is borne by a cabinet office, by central government. So I think that's something that's reassured quite a lot of the local authorities that I've spoken with, that the idea is that this will be borne by central government. And the reason for that is that actually you get a lot of economies of scale if you're providing it from one place. And secondly, of course, because at the moment we're not really in the mindset that we should be providing these products. And I am hoping that that's where we can move to. But at the moment, I think it's not seen as something that we should be providing as standard in public toilets. So for now, that's where the cost lies.
And what kind of response have you had from other local authorities, if any at all?
And most have been quite overwhelmingly supportive, to be honest. I also attended Douglas City Council's chambers, and everybody was supportive of the principle of the bill. Like we've discussed already, they had questions around who will bear the cost. They had questions around maintenance, etc. Just practicalities, really, of how it will be rolled out. People like to be able to actually envisage exactly how the mechanics of it will work, but very supportive of the principles, and that was great, you know, to see. And the people who attended the drop-in session were the same, and they felt quite passionately that this is something that we should be doing. And so it's actually been really quite a positive engagement exercise. I've been really, really happy doing it.
That's the Douglas East MHK, Joni Farragher. It's 23 minutes past five. Well, this week marks 20 years since the start of Beach Buddies Isle of Man. The founder, Bill Dale, says it started when he and his former partner were walking along Balaff Beach and their dogs kept taking over bits of plastic to them. And it was only when they investigated further, they just realised how much waste was on the seashore. Almost 22,000 different volunteers and hundreds of tons later, the rest, as they say, is history.
There was plastic dating back 20 years, even in those days. So the following weekend, we went back with a pile of bin bags and thought, let's just clean up. Little did we know what we were letting ourselves in for, because we went back five different times over five weekends, and every beach in the Isle of Man was in a mess. So we decided, why don't we have a go? And just on our own, the two of us and the dogs cleaned up quite a few beaches. And then we asked for some help and the whole thing exploded. So what a nice reflection this is on the Manx people. I'm amazed, really, but it appears that the Isle of Man is the only place which has a complete system which works. 20 years ago, you walk 5 yards and fill a bag. So we have done something special. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that it is actually such a simple concept.
How many tons of rubbish do you think the organisation would have picked up over the two decades?
We were picking up over 100 tons a year when we started. The majority of it now is lightweight. and it's plastics. And but in those days, there were hundreds and hundreds of things like tyres and wheels and big barrels and things off fishing boats and fishing nets. So over the years, it's reduced quite dramatically. So now every year it's around about between 25 and 30 tonnes. That's without counting the recycling. I kept statistics on numbers of people who turned up. Up to this point, where we've gone past and we're on the way to 22,000 different volunteers. In terms of the number of volunteers who keep coming back and duplicate over the years, it's into hundreds of thousands of hours.
People have taken the concept of beach buddies to other parts of the world as well.
The son of a very good friend of mine who works in Hong Kong, he phoned up and he said, I'd really love to set up something here. Would you mind if we set up a group called Beach Buddies Hong Kong? And I said, oh, absolutely, you know, give it a go. He continues to this day.
What an incredible thing. Bill Dale, the founder of Beach Buddies Isle of Man. You can listen to his full interview reflecting back and ahead to the future of the charity with Chanel. It's coming up as an Island Life After update. Just a reminder, emergency services still responding to that incident in the area of Regent Street and Lock Promenade. Police officers are there directing traffic in the area, so do avoid it if you can. Now, Update Sport brought to you by Printshed Time. And here's Darren Fastamai.
Fastamai. Island athletes are being invited to put themselves forward to be considered for the Isle of Man's 2027 Island Games Triathlon squad. Manx Tri Club will be holding preliminary trials on Wednesday the 14th of January for both the ladies and men's open categories. It will consist of a short swim and run performance assessment which will take place at the NSC in Douglas. Manx Tri Club says it's open to anyone aged 14 and over as of the 31st of December 2025 with no previous triathlon experience required. For anyone interested, visit manxradio.com for more information. As of yesterday, the club adds around 20 have already declared an interest. During the most recent Island Games in Orkney in July last year, the Isle of Man fielded 10 competitors, 6 male and 4 female, with the squad earning one medal as Clara Isaac secured individual bronze in the women's race. The 2027 Games are due to be held in the Faroe Islands from the 3rd to the 9th of July. Union Mills FC is seeking more players to join its women's team. The club is encouraging women and girls aged 16 and over to get involved, whether completely new to the game or with previous experience. Following time out from the system in recent years, Union Mills FC Ladies has rejoined the Canada Life Women's League this campaign, competing across both league and cup competitions. Anyone interested in joining out or finding out more details is asked to contact either 304 066 or 325 524 and can also get in touch by contacting the Union Mills FC Facebook page. Team training sessions take place on Thursdays at Project 21 on Greenfield Road from Douglas at 5:45 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Union Mills aren't the only ones to bring in fresh faces in the men's league. Douglas and District are on the lookout for senior players to join their ranks. The club says it's desperate for new additions and anyone interested is invited to come down and train. Training sessions take place on Wednesday evenings on the 3G pitch at Bemahague from 7:15 p.m. to 8:45 p.m.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Just a reminder, still that ongoing incident in the area of Regent Street and Lock Promenade. We'll keep you up to date on that on the social media pages. Up next, it's our Island Life special about beach buddies. Then Chris Kinney is here at 6 p.m. with Greatest Hits. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. And we'll be back with Update at 5 p.m. tomorrow.